everybody. Welcome to this again. Today, we've got quite the thing for you. Our story today starts with a man who some may call an academic man. Well, most would probably call him that until they learn more about him. I want to just tell you, before we get too far into the horror elements, what exactly about him, he thought, what some of his views were, okay? Excuse me. So, amongst his views were utilitarianism. He also invented this thing called the greatest happiness principle, which basically, by happiness, he understood a predominance of pleasure over pain, right? So, you know, that's pretty basic shit. He thought about economics. He focused on monetary expansion as a means of helping to create full employment. He was also aware of the relevance of forced saving, propensity to consume, and the savings-investment relationship. He was into law reform, codification of common law. He also is widely regarded as one of the earliest proponents of animal rights and has even been hailed as the first patron saint of animal rights. He argued that the ability to suffer, not the ability to reason, should be the benchmark, or what he called insuperable line. So there you go. He also said, if reason alone were the criterion by which we judge who ought to have rights, human infants and adults with certain forms of disability might fall short too. So there you go. That's pretty interesting. He did not object to medical experiments on animals, however, if the goals were to benefit humanity. Gender and sexuality. He believed that placing of women in a legally inferior position was what made him choose, at the age of 11, the career of a reformist. He spoke for complete equality between sexes. So there you go. He also does not believe homosexual acts to be unnatural, which this was like in the 1800s. So that was pretty far and far ahead. So he's got quite a few interesting beliefs, and he's widely associated with the foundation of in 1826 of London University, which became the University College London. Now, so that's the sort of, you know, he sounds like a pretty normal guy, if not an abnormal guy, in that he seems pretty great, right? He seems like a pretty good dude overall. By the way, his name is Jeremy Bentham. I'll say Bentham because it seems like when you talk about a name from the United Kingdom, the kingdom, which is united, that's how you would say it, right? Probably Jeb Bentham. So, should we talk about where it gets weird? So, at the university, which he helped to found, at the south end of the south cloisters in the main building stands a wooden cabinet, which has been a source of curiosity and perplexity to visitors. The cabinet contains this Bentham character's preserved skeleton, dressed in his own clothes, and surmounted by a wax head. Bentham requested that his body be preserved in this way in his will made shortly before his death on June 6, 1832. The cabinet was moved into the university in 1850. Now, Bentham had originally intended that his head should be part of the Otto icon, and for 10 years before his death, so runs another story, carried around in his pocket the glass eyes which were to adorn it. Unfortunately, when the time came to preserve it for posterity, the process of desiccation, as practiced by New Zealand Maori, went disastrously wrong, robbing the head of most of its facial expressions and leaving it decidedly unattractive. The wax head was therefore substituted, and for some years the real head, with its glass eyes, reposed on the floor of the Otto icon between Bentham's legs. In 1948, the head was placed inside a specifically constructed wooden box to give it more protection. The box was too large to fit inside the Otto icon, and so it was displayed on top of the case containing the auto icon until 1956, when it was put on a plinth over the door to the cloisters leading to the eastern staircase. Now, here's something interesting to me. They're like, this head is too gross. I want to go to the, if I may, the Wikipedia article, because I feel like that had a more interesting description of exactly what happened to his head, right? So here's what we're talking about. There's a box. Kind of looks like a phone booth or something. It's got his name, Jeremy Bentham, at the top. It's got wooden, like, closet doors, glass pane, and behind it is sitting what looks like an old man. But really, it's his skeleton with a fucking fake head on top of it, right? So that's the skeleton, and the wooden cabinet is called an auto icon. Now, I didn't find any others of these in existence. It seems like this is the only thing. So it's a skeleton padded out with hay. And here's the description of what happened to the head. Bentham had intended the auto icon to incorporate his actual head, mummified to resemble its appearance in life. However, Southwood Smith, the guy who, you know, was basically supposed to take care of everything, experimental efforts at mummification based on practices of the indigenous people of New Zealand and involving placing the head under an air pump over sulfuric acid and drawing off the fluids, although technically successful, left the head looking distastefully macabre, with dried and darkened skin stretched tautly over the skull. The auto icon was therefore given a wax head, fitted with some of Bentham's own hair. The real head was displayed in the same case as the auto icon for many years. So, and we can take, on the website, there is a virtual auto icon. If you can't visit UCL to see Bentham's auto icon, there's the next best thing, a virtual 360-degree rotatable version. So, let's see. So I can, you know, click and drag and turn him around, which is nice. You know, I can see what his skeleton butt looks like. Okay. How much do you think I can... Ooh, I can zoom in quite a bit. Although the face is like wax. So you can't really see any scary shit. He's wearing gloves. You know, he's completely fitted out. And you can't actually... You wouldn't know that there was a skeleton in there for sure. But it is definitely here. If you go to the Bentham Project virtual auto icon, you can find this for yourself. Now, there's more. Here's the extract from his will. My body I give to my dear friend, Dr. Southwood Smith, to be disposed of in a manner hereinafter mentioned, and I direct. He will take my body under his charge and take the requisite and appropriate measures for the disposal and preservation of the several parts of my bodily frame in the manner expressed in the paper annexed to this my will and at the top of which I have written auto icon. Jesus Christ. Follow the directions on the auto icon paper. This is like, of course this guy founded a college. How long was that shit? The skeleton he will cause to be put together in such a manner as that the whole figure may be seated in a chair, usually occupied by me when living, in the attitude in which I am sitting when engaged in thought in the course of time employed in writing. I direct that the body thus prepared shall be transferred to my executor. He will cause the skeleton to be clad in one of the suits of black occasionally worn by me. The body so clothed, together with the chair and the staff and in the my later years borne by me, he will charge of and for containing the whole apparatus, he will cause to be prepared an appropriate box or case, blee, blee, blah. If it should so happen that my personal friends and other disciples should be disposed to meet together on some day or days of the year for the purpose of commemorating the founder of the greatest happiness system of morals and legislation, my executor will from time to time cause to be conveyed to the room in which they meet the said box or case with the contents therein to be stationed in such part of the room as to the assembled company shall see me. This is like fucking crazy. The article goes on here. However, the head, which was on top, proved an irresistible target for students, especially from King's College London, who stole the head in 1975 and demanded a ransom of $100 to be paid to the charity shelter. UCL finally agreed to pay a ransom of $10, and the head was returned. Probably not $10, but whatever money. On another occasion, according to legend, the head, again stolen by students, was eventually found in a luggage locker at a Scottish station, possibly Aberdeen. The last straw came when it was discovered in the front quadrangle being used for football practice, and the head was henceforth placed in secure storage. After the incident of 1975, a memo instructed that the head be put in the strong room of the records department. In 2005, it was relocated to the conservation safe in the Institute of Archaeology. It was decided that as human remains, it was inappropriate to put the head on display, and since then, permission to view has been granted only in exceptional circumstances by the curator of the college collections. Many have speculated as to exactly why Bentham chose to have his body... Oh, wait. I wanted to look at... Because you can Google his head. Jeremy Bentham head. And you can see, and it is fucked up looking. I mean, the eyes, if these are the eyes he's carrying around, no shit. But, like, the whole, I mean, when this guy, when this buddy of his was, like, taxidermying the thing, I mean, it must have been, he must have been watching it happen and been like, oh, shit. Like, this is not going well. There's a picture of when they had it, you know, next to his feet and stuff like that. Pretty fucked up looking. Pretty crazy. There's also a number of pictures where he seems to be sitting in, like, a meeting and stuff like that. You know, like, they're setting up his corpse in a chair. There's, like, students, it looks like, setting up his corpse in a chair, like, in a meeting room. And there's another picture here at where he's at a meeting, sitting kind of at the head of the table. And there's these three dudes kind of looking, just laughing. It looks like they're going about, like, and this is modern times, okay? You know, they've got a projector hooked up, so it's at least that modern. Like, and, you know, the last 15 years for sure. And they're just having this board meeting, and there's a goddamn skeleton in there. Oh, I see. They've got it on a little placard, and they're rolling it down the hallway. And there's a student, it looks like, just sitting in the hallway on his laptop, like, what the fuck? What in the actual fuck? So there you go. I recommend looking at the head if you want to look at that kind of thing. Many people have speculated as to exactly why Bentham chose to have his body preserved in this way, with explanations ranging from a practical joke at the expense of posterity to a sense of overweening self-importance. Perhaps the Otto icon may be more plausibly regarded as an attempt to question religious sensibilities about life and death. Yet whatever Bentham's true motives, the Otto icon will always be a source of fascination and debate, and will serve as a perpetual reminder of the man whose ideals inspired the institution in which it stands. Yeah, I mean, because the way he was writing was fucking not going to go real far, is it? So there you go. Jeremy Bentham, you know, equality guy, animal rights activist, economic smart tea pants, and wanted to have his corpse... in the hallway of a college, and for some reason, the college was like, totally. Now, I do feel like if the college had said, you know, okay, and then in more recent times was sort of like, no. But that doesn't seem to be what's happened. It seems to be that they're just like, well, what can we do? And so there he is. And there, I guess he will remain. Forever, probably. I don't know, until somebody steals his head and plays fucking football with it. So evolved over there. We're so horrible in America. Okay. Well, there you go. That's our spooky tale for the day. Hope you had a good one. And, oh, you know what? I did have one more thing to share with you.
Your third clue is, in blanks 2 through 7, put in these numbers, 5, 7, 1, 1, 1, 7, happy Halloween.